Here we go. This morning, Nundala begins with Lamatzech bin Neginos Maskil David. Alamatzech bin Neginos. What does it mean, bin Neginos? And Neginos is also a name of a musical instrument. Okay, all different types of musical instruments. We have to one day chaz over all different instruments. Let's try maybe run through the psukim first. Okay, so let's see over here in the Mitzudas David. Mitzudas David, Pasuk. Base. There is no pasuk aleph. Beneginos. The word beneginos. I'm assuming over here is to mean a musical instrument. The mafarshim over here really don't see over here. You don't see over here in the targum. It says la lisha bocha. Okay. Al tush bachta sichla. Okay. So tushbachta means beneginos. Tushbachta means praise. Beneginos, the Targum learns this is an expression of praise. Ad Mefarshim don't really say very much. Look over here. All the Mefarshim come out, don't touch the word beneginos. Beneginos. And look at the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai says, Lamatzech beneginos, bemixas miduyokim hoser vav, v'chein bamasores beneginos, gimul mole belishna, v'simen bekori aneni. Okay, then he goes on with Neginos, Shoser Sechar. Okay, he doesn't really say what it means. But Neginos, I'm assuming for the moment now, I have to go look into this more. And in the meantime, we're going
to seem to avoid the question
of what exactly is Neginos. Neginos, again, the Targum seems to say L'shabocha. That's always the way he translates the word Lam Natseach, Al Tush Bachta. Tush Bachta is the same word. Tush Bachta means praise, a song of praise. Al-Natzech means a
good morning.
You're back.
Yeah, I just went for a week this time. March 1st, I'm going for 3 months.
You're a ghost. You get it? You're a mamash. I see you as a pachad. Mark, so that was a quick, and you come back so quickly. Wow, what a good person. Okay, Mark, we'll take you here with open arms. Welcome back from the Holy Land. Okay, so he seems to be saying, oh, wow, Mark, unbelievable. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Yehi Bedvaroi. Okay, so over here we have to do some more research, but in the meantime, it either means a musical instrument or it means a song of praise. Like the word Lord Negina, Neginu Orchestra. Are they still in business? I never see them anymore. Neginu Orchestra? I don't see them anymore. Neginu Orchestra, what? Negina is music, and here, b'neginois, maskil, David, we always have maskil, means one of two things. Either it means Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh came upon David and assisted him in composing this mizmor, or maskil means this is not just a composition of emotion, of music, this is an intellectual study. David, in the words of his composition, is going to tell you something brilliant, bring insight into understanding the way this world works. It's a very important principle. Whatever it says in the Mizmor word maskil, he's telling you this is not just music, emotion, and thanksgiving. I'm giving over a very deep message. I'm giving you this mizmor is worth at least multiple PhDs. You can get many PhDs, thesis, and understanding the depth of what I'm telling you here in this message. Chazal say that David said to Hashem, anyone who learns Tehillim, it should be different than anything else. It should be equivalent to Talmud Torah. David, we all have this debate that Hashem acquiesce. That Hashem said to David, yes, but David wanted that when people learn Tehillim, they should get the same reward as if they are learning a Daf Gemara. No different. That was David's request. And to some degree, I think la halacha, people, that is accepted, that learning Tehillim is on a higher level than learning other things. Reciting Tehillim, because the words of Tehillim, there is not just emotion, there is insight into the Chochmah HaTorah, and that certainly is expressed whenever they have a mizmor that has the word maskil. Other commentators don't say that. They just say the word maskil is an expression of a divine. Torah is, of course, is divine. Maybe it's not necessarily a contradiction. Okay, Ladavid. Pasuk Beis, what is the subject? That's always the most important part of every mizmor, is to know the background to when the mizmor was composed and for what purpose. This is going back to the lifetime of David, when David was not yet king, and there was a nation or people called the Zifim. Bivo ha-Zifim vayomu l'shol haloi David mistater imanu. The Zifim, I'm assuming, is part of a Canaanite nation, one of the Canaanite tribes, and they were loyal to Shaul. They did not like David, and they told David, the Zifim, that David is hiding with them, and Shaul should come and kill him. Let's read a few psukim. Elokim b'shimcha hosheni, with your name save me. Uvigvrosra sidineni, and with your might judge me. Let's see the mitzvah David pasuk beis. Pasuk beis says mistater mischabe etzleinu, David is hiding with us. Pasuk gimel sidineni. Todin dini lokachas nikmasi, take my revenge against these people, the Zifim that slandered on me, similar to what Doeg did. This is what Doeg did. And look at the Radak on page 479, Bevul Zifim, Anshe Zif, who Mokoin Begvul, Anshe Ben Yehuda, this location. Okay, so are these Jews? Are these not Jews? Who exactly are the Zifim? It's not so clear if the Zifim were Jewish people, they were not Jewish people, but they did slander on David. Let's go further. Pasuk, we'll see more as we go along. Pasuk Dalit, Elokim Shema, Sifi Lasi, listen to my prayer, Hazina Limrefi, hearken to the words of my mouth. Pasuk Kei, Ki Zodim, Kamu Olai, strange people have risen up against me. Ve'oritzim, we have not had that word in a very long time. An Oritz is a tyrant. What is a tyrant? A tyrant.
A dictator.
Oritzim. We have not had that word in a long time. We had that word in Yeshaya a lot, and in maybe Cheskel. The word Oritz. We have not had that until, I think the first time. The Oritzim. Big shu. What? What do you say? Mikaf called her Oritzim. We said that in Davening, correct. The Oritzim Bikshu Nafshu, they have sought my Neshama Loi, somewhere looking Linegdom Sela Hashem Lois. You should not consider them for nothing forever. Let's see the Mitzvah David Pasuk, Lisa Psukim Pasuk Dalit, Ki Zodim, Anche Azifim, Hemo Zodim Mishaul. The Einam Ibn Mishpachtai, the Zifim, everyone's going to try to define who exactly are the Zifim. It's a Sugya in Sefer Shmuel. We should really learn Sefer Shmuel together with learning the Tillim, but whatever. Anshe Azifim Ha'ehem Zodim Mishol, they are Zodim, Ve'enem Ibnei Mishpach, they're not part of his family. Ve'im Kol Zeh Kamu Bin Limostreni Biyodo. And therefore, that is an incredible degree of wickedness. It's one thing, see, there's obviously, we can't even imagine what it was like to live during this time, when there was a feud in Klal Yisrael, who should be the leader. Who would be the Melech of Klal Yisrael? Would it remain in the hands of Shaul, or would David be the new Melech? So you could imagine everyone in the family, and anyone that was loyal to Shaul, would do everything in their power to make sure that the Malchus remains firm in the hands of Shaul, and anyone that was not part of Shaul's family couldn't care less. I mean, they couldn't care less, mm-hmm. But like, whatever it is, there's no special loyalty if it's not your family and you have nothing to gain. These people, the Zifim, had nothing to gain. They were not part of Shaul's family. They had nothing to gain, yet they went and they took the side of Shaul and they slandered David, and right, because why would you do that? You know that by giving over this information, you're putting David in great sakana. Doeg had an agenda. He was jealous. Doeg was just basically jealous from the very, very beginning. He had a score to settle, axe to grind. That was Doeg. The Zifim had nothing to do with David. They had nothing to do with David. and they had nothing to do with Shaul. And why in the world are you taking the side? What are you getting involved? What are you getting involved in a machlokes that's not yours? Like you hear about in the United Nations, they sanction, they censor Israel, they pass a resolution saying that Israel is an apartheid state and they've done this. And you look at who signed this, what is it called? The censor, whatever they call it, this resolution. A whole bunch of countries that you can't even pronounce their names. You never heard of. You can't even pronounce their names. What's in your business? And then when they actually put them on the spot, when somehow once in a very rare occasion, when someone meets one of these heads of state from these countries and their an ambassador, what do you have against Israel? Nothing. So why did you sign on to this resolution? What's it nogea you? I don't know. I don't know. They want to gain favor. These are poor countries. They need money from these other countries. They need favors. And they want to kiss up to them. They want to kiss up to them so that show favor. Oh, for you hold they're no good. So automatically we'll rubber stamp because maybe you'll go and you'll give us some tzedakah. You'll give us some money. You'll defend us. All different reasons, but it's not about the issue. The issue they couldn't care less. And that's over here, the Zifim. And sometimes you can find where the country has absolutely nothing to gain whatsoever. And out of total foolishness and nonsense and ignorance, thorough ignorance, they go and they take the side of these nasty anti-Semites for absolute, with no logic. And to a degree, that's exactly what the Mitzvah stuff is saying about the Zifim. The Zifim, are you a Mishpacha with Shaul? What do you care? Mind your own business. There's a machlekes going on in Klal Yisrael between the Machaneh Shaul and the Machaneh David. Mind your own business. What are you getting involved? Bishlam, we're going to say, Doeg was jealous. You want to say there are other people that wanted to rat out David because they were loyal to the family. If you're not loyal to your own family, you're in a lot of trouble. But over here, what's there to gain? That's what the Mitzvah stuff over here says, and he calls them Aritzim. He says, he firstly calls them Zorim. They're strangers. What are you getting involved? Kamulai. Then he says, V'oritzim bikshu nafshi loy somu elukim lenegdom hashina. What does that mean if you look at the Mitzudas? Mitzudas David says, Kizu ansha zivim himu zorim mishol. They're strangers. V'einam mibne mishpachtoi. So what are you getting involved? V'im kol ze kamubi, they rose up against me, l'mosreni biyadoi. V'oritzim anoshim hachazokim imeni mivakshim nafshi v'ein bi koyach lamoy kenegdom. Aritzim here, Mitzudas David, translates people that are more mighty. I don't stand a chance. They're more mighty, and therefore my only survival can be in the hands of Hashem. Loi samu, umei oylam, ein pachad elokim lenegdam. Now this means they never had in their neshama any yiras shamayim, velo yimshuchu yadam mimeni miyiras Hashem. This is a very powerful idea. Like this, everything always goes back to this. It always goes back to this principle is Rak Ein Yiras Elokim Bamakoyim Hazeh. When you're living in a place when there is no Yiras Shamayim, there is no limit to what can happen. There's no, that's what Avraham said to Avimelech is Rak Ein Yiras Elokim B'Mokayim Hazeh. This country is absolutely out of this world. It is sophisticated. You have an economy. You have goals, and you have sophistication, and you have a system where people have jobs. Everything over here is unbelievable. It's second. You have created for yourself a society that is the envy of the world. Everything here runs super efficiently. People are happy. People have parnasa. People have what to do with themselves, they have entertainment. You've developed a lifestyle that is second to none. And there's only one thing that... It sounds like an imaginary, but everything here is perfect in this civilization. There's only one little thing that's missing, one little prat that's missing that you don't have here. Rak. Rak means this is the only thing that you're missing in this country. Everything is perfect. You've really mastered. You brought together a team of geniuses to create a society that is second to none. Rock. There's one little thing you left out. Ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. And if there's no Yiras Elokim L'mokom Hazeh, no matter how beautiful, no matter how fantastic, and how no matter how great the economy is thriving, the day will come when blood will be flooded. The streets will be flooded with blood.
It's almost like a trap.
Be flooded with blood. V'haraguni al devar ishti. If there's no Yiras Shamayim, you have nothing. Nothing. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. Lo samu elokim lenegdam. These people, these aritzim, they never ever allowed the concept of Yiras Shamayim to penetrate their neshama, not even a mashu. Therefore, when I'm in their way, they'll kill me. They'll kill me. They have no moral conscience. They have nothing holding them back from just killing me on the spot and eliminating me. Because without Yiras Elokim, your person has nothing. Loisamu, they did not set Elokim, the existence of God, the acknowledgement of Kadosh Baruch Hu is the boss, Linegdam, in their presence, Sela, ever. Sela, by the way, you mentioned this, is forever, doesn't only mean in the future, forever means in the past, from time immemorial. Sometimes the word le'olam, Sela, usually it's meant going forward. May salvation come, and the salvation should last Sela forever, going into the future. But we've come across this many times. Sometimes when it says the word le'olam, or the word Sela, it means going backwards. There was never ever, when you were describing an event or something important, it did not exist going backwards in time. So here, these people, from the moment they were born, their parents, their grandparents, they never set in their consciousness, in their upbringing, in their minds, the existence, the acknowledgement that there is an Elokim, Linegdom, in their psyche, Sela, from the day they were born. And therefore, now when they're presented with a situation, they see me, they couldn't care less. They'll go and they'll kill me, they'll murder me. This is a very profound idea. This is a maskil. This is a maskil of David telling you over here the human condition and how dangerous it is to deal with people that have no Yiras Elokim. You know, you deal, like I told you yesterday, when you hire, you know, there's always a very big debate in the Orthodox community when there's a politician and people are coming, they're looking to Gedolim for endorsements. Looking for endorsements. And the question is, the question is, who do you endorse a political candidate? So there are some people, they used to be, back in the olden days, this you don't hear this anymore because the world has become so crazy, is the candidate has very good policies, but he's morally corrupt. He's a balgaiva, he's a manuvel in his private life. He was married 20 times or wasn't married altogether, and he's a nivel peh, but his policies, what he wants, what his platform is, pretty good. Okay, so it used to be a very big debate by Gedolei Yisrael who, as if our vote really makes a difference, right? You live in a world of fantasy, like you really think your vote makes a difference, but make believe your vote makes a difference. Unfortunately, okay, whatever. I take it back then. I don't want to insult anyone over here. But assuming you were to vote, who should you vote for? A person who is morally
corrupt,
who sounds good, but has very bad policies, or should you vote for a person that has good policies, but the trade-off is he's morally corrupt? Because what was the argument in the olden days? And this is totally outdated. The moral standing of a person makes a very powerful impression upon the country, the character. It used to be something like that. It used to be that a presidential person, a person that has dignity, a person that has chashivos, it trickles down to society. Okay, his policies are no good. He's going to raise taxes, he's going to do this, that. You know, listen, it's a Gilgal HaChoyzeh Be'olam, all these type of things anyway. But it's very important there should be a person that has dignity. Dignity, it definitely trickles down to society, a person's dignity. Now, today, you don't hear about that, because today, everyone is morally corrupt. But then there's a new thing, which okay, then there's another thing. I had an argument with a rabbi. A rabbi was talking about, I told the rabbi, the ikar thing in looking for in a political candidate is not if he's good for the Jews, if he's good for the country. Because if he's good for the country, mimela, it's going to be good for the Jews. If he's not good for the country, let's say you have a candidate that his policies towards the state of Israel are not good. But his policies for this country, America, are...
That doesn't work. They're always tied...
They're intertwined. Okay, so that's maybe the reason why I said it. If he's good for the country, mimela, he's good for the Jews. If he's not good for the country...
And for Israel.
And he admitted to me that I'm right. He admitted to me that he said to me, absolutely right. That it's not, don't go look at how he's an anti-Semite, not anti-Semite. If he loves this country, in Mimela, it's going to be very good for Klal Yisrael. If he hates this country, it's going to be horrible for Klal Yisrael. He admitted to me. But then there's another criteria which no one talks about. No one ever talks about this criteria, and that is, does the person, no, not a character, forget about character. That's already hopeless. Does he have any Yiras Shamayim? Does he have any, and now we're not talking about davening a few times a day and learning Mistil Sushar. We're just talking about, does he really have any belief in God for real? I mean, all these politicians, they say, so help me God, and God bless America. Yeah, go take a lie detector test. And see, do they really believe in God? I mean, obviously they'll say whatever you want them to say to score points to get your vote. But deep down inside, do they have any Yiras Elokim? And to me, I think that it took many years to realize this.
How are we going to define if they
have? You can tell. Divrei emes nikarim. Divrei emes. There are a lot of things in life you can smell a rat. You can smell a rat.
There are some,
but there are many that not. Most not.
If they go to church every week,
there are some.
Do you really believe that Biden and Obama have any Yiras Elokim?
No.
Really believe? I don't believe it.
I have no idea.
I don't believe it. You can't judge. That's right. You can't. But in life, there are many things you cannot prove. You cannot prove a lot of things, but you can smell a rat. Something doesn't make sense. There's something really wrong. There are a lot of things everyone knows you can get away with a lot. Technically, you can get away with a lot of things. But people know you. Everyone deals with people all the time. You deal in business. You deal with people. You're, everything is nice.
Think of them as Yiras Elokim.
You can tell a person that has Yiras Elokim. You can sense. A person has some... You're not asking someone, a guy. A guy is a guy. You're not asking a guy to be, to, you know... But you can tell. What? Because Vaharaguni al Devar Elokim. It's this pasuk. A person that has no Yiras Elokim, there's nothing off limits. Nothing makes a difference. They'll do whatever is in their best interest. No consequences.
Well, we do see that they're morally corrupt, ethically corrupt.
There are different degrees.
Yes, there are different. So we're going to be the ones to measure this one. He's
yeah.
Elokim,
yeah, you.
Yes?
Most of the time. Most of the time when there's a political candidate, his name has been around. He's been around the block 100 times. No one just comes out of nowhere. You know these people. You've seen these people around for a very, very long time. And you get a sense. Are these religious people? Or they're totally blank.
Is it religious, you can say, or morally?
Yiras Elokim. What does that mean exactly?
Moral.
What?
Being a moral person.
It's not, look, there's a mumma lete'ovain. There are people who are just out of control, lete'ovain. But they believe in God. They do believe in God.
They're going to hell.
Yeah. They know it. They believe. And there are people. There are people that are totally blank. There's no one there. There's no one home. There's mamish, no one home. No one home. And the more you see people, what? You can, there's just nothing there. And a person in their own life, you're always judging.
Somebody who lives here, under the facade, has no core values. That you can think of.
And that's what it says here. The Mitzudois David makes this statement.
But just not to generalize that there are no...
No, there are people. There are very good people out there. There are very good people out there. Every person, every guy is creating the Tzelem Elokim. Every person is, you know, the people who are B'nai Yishmael and B'nai Esav, they're sons of Avraham and Yitzchak. There's potential for them to be, to have fear of Hashem. There is. It's a reality. They're Chassidi Umay Sa'olam. No one's denying this. And then there are people that come from Canaan, Chom and Canaan, that have much less potential. They don't come from the seed of Avraham and Yitzchak, and they have much less potential. And if you find one of them that is a Yorei Elokim, we can't anyway measure no one's Yichus. And it's a very basic principle. It's in the Torah. Rak Ein Yiras Elokim is a very famous word. Rak means you have in this country of the Plishtim everything you can possibly want. You are the creme de creme. Everything is the best. You have a society that is second to none. There's only one little thing that's missing. Rak means there's only everything but this. There's no Yiras. Germany. Wasn't Germany recognized as being the most sophisticated
culture?
And they had everything you can possibly want. What was missing? Rak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh, and they murdered 6 million people like nothing. Like nothing. They couldn't kill us. Like nothing. This is what Avraham said to the Melech Pelishtim, and this is what David is saying about the Zifim. The Zifim is saying, these people are the greatest threat to my life. They are the greatest threat. Because if they have no Yiras, there's nothing holding them back. Loi, Samu, Elokim, Lenegdam, Sela. Sela means never. They never ever set and applied the concept that there is a God in this world that judges you and holds you accountable for your behavior. They never did that. So in their minds, if you can get away with it, then they'll kill me. There's no moral conscience of causing me harm. And that's why David says, I'm desperate. Hashem, I'm in a lot of trouble. Ki kamu olai, there are Zorim. There are people who are very strange people. They're not part of Shol's Mishpacha. They have nothing to gain from this. And they go and they rat me out for no good reason. And then there are Ritzim, people that have no Yiras Elokim, Bikshu Nafshi, and maybe when the Loisamu Elokim is going back on both of these groups. Next pasuk, Hinei Elokim Oizeli. David says, I have nothing to worry about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. Hashem, B'Soimche Nafshi, Hashem is going to support my neshama. Pasuk, look at the Mitzvah 7, pasuk Vav. Back on the previous page, Hinei Elokim im ki ein hakoyach biyodi. David acknowledges that he is powerless. Avol Hinei Hashem who oizeli, Hashem will help me. V'hu yeh be'ezras soimchei nafshi. He will support my neshama. Pasuk Zayin Yoshev hara le'shoriroi. Hashem will boomerang against them. Those that look at me. The word shoriroi comes from the word of alei shur. Alei Shur means to the eye. It means to look. To those who look at me. Ba'amiticha hatzmi, same with your midah of emes. Cut them down. Now, what do these things have in common? What's the connection of these concepts? Look at the pasuk zayin in the middle of it. Yoshev hara hazeh bi'atzma. Yoshev lo'evai. Ha'mistaklim bi lira'ah. What they want to do to me, do to them. Give them a taste of their own medicine. Ba'amiticha. Ba'avur. Sha'ato kel emes. You are a God of MS, L'shalim l'ish kigmuloi. Mida kineged mida, l'zeh hachri sem kasher choshvuli. This is the basic principle. What you want to do to someone, whatever you do for someone else will come eventually and boomerang to you. You show kindness to someone else, that kindness will one day be shown to you. When you're helping someone, you're really helping yourself. When you're giving tzedakah, it is basically Hashem will give you back not tzedakah, he'll give you parnasa that you should not need to come on to tzedakah. The midah sha'ata moideid bo, moideid in lo. These people, what they want to do to me, may you Hashem Elokim oizayim help me Hashem yashiv haral sharoi. Those that look upon me with an evil eye, go and return to them what they want to, because that is MS. That is MS. The mahus of MS is midah kineged midah. Hats me sim cut them down. Pasuk ches bin dava ez b'cholach, with thanksgiving I will bring offerings of sacrifice offerings to you. Oy de shimcha, I will thank your name Hashem ki toy, because you are good. Mitzudo istavet pasuk ches on page 481. Bindava beruach nidiva v'toyva. Mitzudo says with a spirit, with an emotion of graciousness and goodness. And good, return to Loimar, besimcha saleh, with joy, ezbir loch, I will bring to you karbonos, ki toiv, ki shimcho, because your name, hu tov. Ki pasik, tes.
What does the Mitzvah mean? Ruach Nidiva Tova, and then explain to it, saying
the simplest way.
What is he? What's his point?
He's saying when a person is happy, he's generous. When you're in a good mood, it goes hand in hand. When a person is in it has simcha, then you're generous. The donation you give to they make an appeal in shul. If you had a meter to measure a person's mood, person wakes up in the morning and he gets to a big fight with his wife, and then he comes to shul. And then they make an appeal. He makes an appeal. How much does he give? He gives X number of dollars. Let's say that person would have woken up in the morning and he's in a wonderful mood. He's so happy, and he comes to shul, they make an appeal. How much would he give? X number of dollars. You can be guaranteed that the amount of money that he gives when he's in a good mood is a lot more than the amount of money he would give when he's in a bad mood. I don't think so. He's going to give more to get out of his baby. He's going to give more money. I don't think so. Nedivos, generosity. Nedivos literally means generosity, and generosity comes through simchas leiv. So he's explaining bin dova with a spirit of generosity, with a spirit of happiness and giving. I will offer you sacrifices. And you can imagine that the expense, you can buy a cheap sacrifice, or you can buy a more expensive sacrifice. Animals come in different sizes and shapes. And you can bring to Hashem a more expensive carbon or a less expensive carbon. We have absolutely no understanding of what carbonates are all about to appreciate. I mean, who cares, right? What's the difference? If you bring a carbon to Hashem, you bring an animal, giving the neshama, what difference does it make? You have a big animal, a small animal? Obviously, if we had any clue of what sacrifice we're all about, there would be a difference to us in appreciating the difference between a more expensive sacrifice and a less expensive sacrifice. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Finish up. I will thank you your name, Hashem, Kito, because your name is Toiv. You, Hashem, are the epitome of good. Hashem is a good God, not like Apikorsim. We always mention this. There are a lot of apikorsim over there that attribute to Hashem horrible things. They call it the evil genius. Most people, and you can't blame many of these people, because most people in this world suffer. We live in a world where most people in this world are always suffering. And in your person's own life, how many moments of joy does a person really have in his life? Most of the time, the best we could hope for it should be parif. We just shouldn't suffer. And we're looking forward for those few moments of nachas and joy. It's not so easy. And we have to have emunah that this world is a proizdar for olam haba. Hashem put us into this world to go through these nisyonos in order to bring us to earn reward with emunah to olam haba. But in the meantime, it's very, very hard. And unfortunately, there are many people that cannot pass this nisoyon, and they look around the world and they see a lot of suffering, and they say, God created man to suffer. God has pleasure in seeing people suffer. There's a whole world of philosophy. They believe in God. They believe that God has pleasure in seeing his creatures suffer. There are people, I once remember a Rav says their ideal, he deals... A lot of Rabbanim, they deal the whole day. The big Rabbanim have no time to learn. Many of them, unfortunately, what do? The big Rabbanim the whole day, they raise money. And they listen, the whole day to people's problems. And they just listen to tzaras and tzaras and tzaras the whole day. A lot of Rebbes. What do Rebbes do the whole day? Yechids of the Rebbe. No one's coming from Yechids for the Rebbe to tell them good news. No one's going and waiting online the whole night to get into the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The whole night waiting online, you get an appointment 3 o'clock in the morning to tell the Rebbe, good news, I bought a new suit. I bought a new strimal. I want to show you my beautiful new strimal that I bought. No, no. They're going there, Rachmana Litzlan, because they got big problems. Right? So, and so I once had a very big Rav who Taka deals with. I was shocked what he said. I don't think he should have said publicly. A Rav that's very popular. A rabbi that's very popular and is very well sought after. He's very sympathetic to people and he helps people the best that he can. And he says there are people, many people that I know, they really believe that God the whole day is out to get them. He's out to get them. The moment that Hashem wakes up in the morning, he's out, he's just planning and plotting how to torture me, how to make my life miserable. He said this. He says, you know how many people I have like this? They really believe that God is out to get them. And Rachman al-Litzlan, it's you can't blame these people. Rachman al-Litzlan, people have a lot of tzaras.
There's medication,
there are psychologists, there's all different things that go on in this world. It's very, very sad. And he tries very much to help them. That was his whole drasha, is chas v'shalom. Hashem is out only one thing. Hashem is a God that's good. Ki toiv. We overlook this. We see, there are certain things that are just so simplistic and we don't even pay attention. David says, David here is suffering. He is suffering. He has nowhere to hide. Wherever he goes, someone's trying to kill him. Okay? There's no police. There's no one's helping him. What am I going to do? Wherever I go, here they want to kill me, they go, here they want to go kill me. David is suffering. And David says, after all of his suffering, one thing I know, Hashem, you're not out to get me. You're not out to get me. David's whole life, the moment he was born, they thought he was a mamzer. And they wanted to kill him. They sent him out into the field with the tigers and the wolves and the bears and all these creatures to kill him with the sheep. They wanted to kill him. His brothers disassociated from him. He's the mamzer. And then all of a sudden he becomes successful. He finds himself with Yonasan and Shaul, and then Shaul, he's anointed, and then Shaul senses that David is going to become the next. He's very successful. Shaul becomes jealous, and Shaul wants to kill him wherever he goes. And now he runs away, and now he sends out, he's on the top, the number one of the most wanted, the FBI's most wanted list. And wherever he goes, they're trying to kill him. So David shouldn't say, from the moment I came into this world, Hashem is out to get me. Hashem is plotting and planning to go make my life miserable. And David says, no, I know that's not true. He says, Shimcha Hashem ki toiv. That's incredible. That's an incredible, incredible godless of a person to be able, despite all of his challenges, his difficulties, is to say that Hashem is a God of good. And Hashem created people to do with them chesed. Hashem created every neshama in order to give it the ultimate tainug, the ultimate pleasure possible. And the only way to achieve that pleasure is to go through this world. That's an incredible emunah, and you have a billion people who in this world to adhere to the ideology of Christianity and the Chol Hanul Malav, and the foundation of their religion is that God created them to torture them. You come into this world, it's a ticket to Gehenim. Purgatory, that's what you got. That's what they believe. Go read their ideology. You come into this world, you go straight to Gehenna. Right. And if only you redeem yourself by killing Jews, then maybe you'll merit some reward in the next world. Klal Yisrael is the Ameich Kulam Tzadikim. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelik L'Olam Haba. You come into this world, the neshama coming into this world is a guarantee that the neshama is going to go to Gan Eden. There's no exception. This neshama, there, a brahman, a person has a child, like a stillborn, or even a child that lives for one day. Then the greatest neshama they give parents, and you can't even give neshama, but they try it, is that you brought a neshama to olam haba. Although the agony is beyond description to lose an infant, but by this neshama coming into this world, you have brought a neshama to Gan Eden, Olam Haba. You brought that. By the Christians, there's no neshama. By the Christians, Adarabba, a child is born, an infant comes and dies. What are you going to say? According to their philosophy, their ideology, a person comes into this world, he goes straight to Gehenna. Because the person has to redeem himself. How does he redeem himself? By killing Jews. That's how he redeems himself. Okay, by taking revenge for Yashka. He has to redeem himself. So an infant never had a chance to redeem itself. So where does the infant go? According to their apikorsis, it goes straight to Gehenna. So what do the parents gain out of this? Nothing. Nothing. There's no nechama for them. So they go meshuga. They go meshuga. The whole philosophy is pure, pure apikorsis. Klal Yisrael, every neshama that comes into this world goes straight to Gan Eden. And the more person is in this world, the more opportunity has to have even a greater portion in Gan Eden. Kol Yisrael yesh lochem chelek le'olam haba. The amech kulam tzadikim. Le'olam yirshu aretz. These are basic yisoides, but it's not so easy. It's not so easy to have emuna. Don't kid yourself. It's not so easy. If this rabbi said that people, I deal with people the whole day, and many people I know, they tell me that God is out to get them. He's out to get them from the very first moment. It's not so easy. You need emuna. David suffered his entire life. His entire life, everyone was out to get him. Everyone was out to get him, and yet David had the nobility of spirit to say, Shimcha Hashem Ki Toiv. I know that you are good, that you created this world, you created me to do with me chesed, to give me pleasure, and everything in this world is just a nesoyon in order to increase the reward in the next. These are basic principles of emunah, and David maskil l'David. David in every one of his mizmorim is coming to bring this out. And here, and over here is a wonderful example. Over here, here he's dealing with the zifim, the story of the zifim, people that have nothing to gain, a country you can't pronounce its name, you never heard of them, and they vote with all the anti-Semites a resolution against the state of Israel. Who are you? What did I do to you, Mr. Goyim? And these people have no Yiras Elokim. They'll stab you in the back, and David has to deal with them also. He also has to deal with these people. And yet David says, after everything is said and done, I know this is another dimension of the test, and Shimcha Hashem Ki Toiv. Ki mikol tzara hitzilani uvi oivai ro'asa eini. From every difficult situation, you Hashem have saved me. Uvi oivai, and my enemies, ruasa eini, my eyes have seen. Now, what does that mean over here? How does that explain this? It means I will see their demise. Look at the mitzudas. Pasik test. Ki mikol ki toivu kifulu asa imadi. Hashem, you've done with me a double goodness. Number one is I see hitzil, and this is very important when he says now mikol tzara asher chashu oivai lasaisli. That you've saved me from every tzar. Ve'oid ro'asa eini be'oivai ma'asher chafatzti liroyis bem. I witnessed their demise. Now this goes back to the story of Lot. When Lot escaped from Sodom, so Hashem says to Lot, al tabit acharecha, don't turn around and see what's going to happen to these people. His wife did not listen. She turned around. She became a nitziv melach. Why did Hashem say to Lot, do not turn around? Because there were a lot of wicked people in Lot, in Sodom, obviously. V'anoshim chatohim l'Hashem me'oid. They were rishoyim. Lot, and obviously Lot suffered from them. You have to appreciate the depth. It doesn't just mean that Lot wasn't affected. Lot suffered. Yeah, that is people don't realize that. It is a given. Lot lived in this country. Lot went there because Lot wanted to make money. Was bohol, was overwhelmed with his taiva of money. So he went to live there. But what you think, he lived an idyllic life? He just lived on the side and made money. He suffered.
He was willing to give his daughters. You see, he was affected.
He suffered. He said, but he wanted to give his daughters, but he suffered from these people every single day. They tortured him. They abused him. They stole from him. He suffered enormously. He was willing to put up with it because his love for money was greater, was so great, that he was willing to suffer the abuse of these Rishoim. Now, sweet revenge. I'm walking out of here now. He actually lost all of his money at the end. Okay, he lost all of his money. But at least, let me at least have the pleasure of seeing my enemies, the people who abused me and stole from me. Let me watch them suffer. Let me watch them get what they deserve. So Hashem said to Lot, I don't want you to see it. You know why? Because you're just as bad as them. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve to see them because you're just as evil. You don't deserve it. And why did Lot's wife turn around? She wanted to see sweet revenge. Or just stop. She's curious. How do you learn Pshat in the Pasuk? You can't learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Oh, you turned around. You're curious. Curiosity killed the cat. No way. That's not what it means. The reason why Lot's wife turned around was because these were showing what they did to me. I suffered so much abuse here. I did it for Parnassa. What you do for Parnassa is not to be believed.
They say it should say by Yehu es lo ben achi Avram v'es Yehusha. Why does it say Yehusha right after Lo? Then it says ben achi Avram. Makes no sense. Because you can't separate Lo from his money.
His money, exactly. He went there for the money, but. He suffered, and when the son of turning around was not a son of curiosity, it was a son. I want to see a person as a natural. It's part of the human condition to see your enemies defeated, and I want to see them defeated. And nope, you don't deserve to see them defeated. You deserve to suffer like them. You're just as wicked. You've been affected. You don't. It's only in the zuchus of Avraham that you're being saved. You don't deserve this. So don't go look. But when this week's parasha is the parallel. This week's parasha, Hashem said to the Yam, spit out the Egyptians and let Klal Yisrael watch them die. It says in the Medrash, every Jew had a dog. Okay, it's an amazing thing. And they took their dog and they brought their dog to their master, and the dog bit into the neck of their master. You shagits, you lowlife, you tortured me. And the Jews had the pleasure of watching their enemies die in front of their eyes. Hashem gave them the hana. Hashem gave them the hana. Did they deserve it? Obviously, you have to say they did, even though of lo yachlu lehismanea, and they sung to the 49th level of Tumah, but they still had merit. Even though they did sing to the lowest level, and had they waited one more moment, it would have been too late. Halalu ovdi avodah zarah, halalu ovdi avodah zarah, yet they had zuchusim. Bezuchus shleishinu es shemam, es leshoinam, es malbusham, bezuchus noshim tzidkaniyos. They had merit. It's a complicated life. Every person is a complicated person. Every person has skeletons in the closet. But every person has zuchuyos, kerimoin. Zuchuyos, the average person has zuchuyos, like a pomegranate, how is six, wherever you go, another mitzvah, nochamitzvah. They had merit. Those merits allowed them to witness, to see the sweet revenge of what the Rishayim, of what the Egyptians did to them. David over here says, I was zoiche to see my enemies defeated. Ki mikol tzora hitzilani, uve oivai ro aso eini. Now it's a little bit vague, and I'm maybe reading a little bit more into the mitzvah stuff. It really doesn't. He says something very bizarre. Really, what he says, is what I wanted to see. What does that mean? What I wanted to see. First, what does he get that from? I saw in my enemies what I wanted. If you look in the Targum really nails it. Really, really good. The Targum says, Arum mikol oka pitsa. I was spared from every, mikol oka, kama, from every tsara. Pitsa yasi, you save me. Okay. Uvivale divavai, chamos eini nik misa. My eyes saw vengeance. I saw, he adds the word nikmisa. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. The Targum added that word into the pasuk. I got to see the revenge. I got to see my enemies defeated. Sweet revenge. The Mitzudas David didn't go so far to say that. He says something very bizarre, I told you. He says, Mikol Tzara, Asher Choshvu Oivai, La Soisligay, Vi Oid, Rosso Eini Be Oivai, Ma Shechoftso Lirois Bohem. What my neshama wanted to see. What does that mean? What did it want to see? What did it want to see? Revenge, right? Revenge? So say that the Mitzudas David is not coming, it's not as derech to talk in abstract terms. If the Targum said revenge, nokom, so how come the Mitzudas David didn't say revenge? I don't know. My neshama got to see what it wanted to see. Maybe he's trying to say is that not all the time does a person want to see revenge. I tell this many times about the Holocaust. It's a very big thing when they were liberated. When Jews were liberated from the death camps. There are many stories where their liberators said they captured some Germans, some Nazis, some Ukrainians, the Russians, and they said to them, here's a weapon, do whatever you want. We're walking out of here, you do whatever you want. And there are many stories, and it's a very good topic of discussion, hashkafa. What would you do? What would you do if you study the Holocaust and get a real sense of appreciation being tortured for 6 years, family killed, murdered, you're just a skeleton, and they destroyed every shred of your life. And now, here's a weapon, you can kill them all right now. What would you do? So it's a big topic of discussion. I would probably kill him. Mayor for sure. Mayor, you would wipe him out here. Why, you wouldn't?
To have a group of revenge guys who, they didn't want to just kill one. They actually wanted to poison the reservoir.
They did.
So kill.
Kill them all. Okay, so, all right, whatever. So, and then there are stories. You cannot judge. This is the human condition. This is something which there is no answer to. And it is probably one of the most extremely difficult topic. There are many stories like this, and many stories they devoured them. There are Jews, Erlich Jews that just devoured these Rishonim. And there are other stories where they were given weapons and opportunity, and they said, it's not our place. We don't do this. Hashem does this. Okay, I know you could. Yeah, it's like the guy, it's like the person lost in the forest and he's davening to Hashem, save me. He's in the middle of Shemona Esrei and there's a helicopter on top of him and can't be mafsik. Can't be mafsik. Okay, but there were gedolim that decided not to do anything, and they said this is Hashem's business. There is no answer to this. This is a big topic. Look at Rav Menachem Zemba. Everyone knows Rav Menachem Zemba, one of his greatest legacy. Rav Menachem was from the Gedolei Yisrael, from the biggest of the biggest. He was a goyin shebegoyinim, and he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. Everyone knows this. And they were beginning to liquidate the Warsaw Ghetto, and everyone had just basically a few days left to live at most. And his talmidim asked him, "What should we do? The last we're going to die." So should we spend the last few days being mitaher our neshamas? We're going to fast. These are very holy people. We're going to fast. We're going to daven. We're going to prepare our neshamas to return to Shemayim because we're going to die. Or should we go fight and kill as many of these animals as we can? And at the expense that we're going to die anyway, but we're not going to be prepare our neshamos to return. And he told them, go fight. He told them, kill every last one of them. Don't be mitar, don't spend time being mitar your neshamos. Go fight. Go and kill every tamos nafshi and plishtim. Okay, this is a very, it's a chiddush. No, it's not a chiddush. It's a chiddush. This is.
That's the way you mitar
your. Okay, so you can argue this. You can argue this debate the whole day. Obviously, no two people look alike. No two people think alike. No two people in the Olam of Hashkaf and Torah Everyone has a different. They're all elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. Oh, right, very good. Right, the goel adam. Someone kills a relative by accident. He has to go to the Ari Amiklat. He doesn't go to the Ari Amiklat. Go kill him. So here, over here. So it's very interesting. You get a little bit of a sense over here. According to the parish of the Targum, Targum says, you know, you're always superimposing upon other people what you believe in. Is that a general rule? When you go and you make a portrait, you make a portrait of people. If we would make a portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, so try to make a portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu, make a painting of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you're an American, he's going to look like an American. If you're an Israeli, you're going to make him look like an Israeli. If he's from Chabad, you're going to put a Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, a squashed hat and a gartel, you know, and a short, and a short.
Religious pictures of the Sukh, whatever, from
China. They look like Chinese.
All look Chinese. So there's, I think Rabbi Twersky's daughter is an artist. Her job is to fix the eyes.
They shouldn't look like Chinese. So everyone, this is the mitzvah, a person naturally superimposes upon other people what they believe in. Here we have David. David says something very vague. He says, I have a lot of enemies out there. And Hashem, I thank you, you have saved me from them, you've spared me, and you let me see, he reads something very vague, Uvi oivai ro'asa eini. My eyes saw. Saw what? So the Targum, obviously, was a man of vengeance. So he superimposes upon David. When the time came to see these, the Zifim, suffer, David went to look. He went to watch and see them suffer, get what they deserve. Nakam. The Mitsudais.
This is an answer to Pasuk Zayin. Yashiv hara l'shorerai. HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. To look. Those who look. So I now get to look. Excellent. Rav Kalman is saying over here is the reason why it says Rasa Einai, it corresponds to Shoriroi. Shoriroi means David is being mispalel in Pasuk Zion. May you mida kinedis, they looked at me, they kept on looking at me to see my destruction. And now mida kineged mida, I got to witness their destruction. Shoriroi, those who look at me, now I look at them and I see their destruction. But what exactly do I see? So according to the Targum says, I got to see the gory details. I got to see the blood dripping. I got to see them screaming like a horror movie. I saw every little gory, because obviously the Targum, his nature, I'm saying, I don't know if what I'm saying is true, but the words are abstract. And when something is abstract, it allows for many perushim. And obviously every single person, they have a different nature. And there are people who like to see revenge and they like to see the details. And if you give them a weapon and you say, here, you can go, you can kill all the Nazis now. So there are people that would gladly, with relish, would take the weapons and wipe them all out. And then there are people, they're very meek. Hashem, this is not my business. I suffered. No, it is what it is. I have emunah. These people...
There's a middle of a road.
Oh, right, there's the middle of a road.
I see them being shot
by someone else. 100%. I'm not. You're 100. Everyone, different strokes for different folks. Kesheim sheein paratzufim shavus kach ein deil same shavus. Hashem will. I have emuna that Hashem will give punishment. There's din v'cheshbon. It's not. They're different mahalchem. So it's interesting. The words are abstract. And here you see two commentators, the Targum and Mitzudas David. And I feel they're bringing out. They're superimposing upon David their personal nature. The Targum is. There's going to be blood, and I want to see the blood trickling from them. I want to see the torture, and therefore, uve oivai ro'aso eini, the nakam, the vengeance. The Mitsudois sounds like it's much more timid. I have emuna pshuta. There's din v'cheshbon. Hashem will give every person what they deserve, but it's not for me to do. And therefore, Hashem let me see what I wanted to see. I want to see someone else shoot them. I want to see their grave. I don't have to see the execution. It's not for me to see. This is for Hashem's business, not my business. They're both right. You can't. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different approach to these type of issues. And here you see the Mitzudos and the Targum is superimposing, is injecting into the words that are abstract what they would do in this situation. That's what I'm trying to suggest, because the words are by definition abstract. You can't hold anyone down. The Mitzudos is very strange. I saw, Hashem showed me what my neshama wanted to see. I don't have to see every little detail. What I wanted to see. The Targum doesn't give you that impression. I saw sweet revenge, which has a connotation of, he used the word nikmisa. Chamos eini, chames beini, nikmisa, the revenge for what they've done to me. Vengeance. Okay, this is the parish of the Mitzudos. It's a little bit late, so we're not going to leave. It's a Freudian slip. I'm trying to say there's a Freudian slip here.
Torah's attitude is you got to get involved. You know,
of course. Amalek, of course.
You have to do it. Do something to somebody else.
Of course. But obviously, we everyone is different. Everyone has a, like in the Holocaust, there are stories of Gedolei Yisrael, they were given weapons by the liberators, kill them. And they said, no, we don't do this. We don't do this. And other people will say, out of your mind? If this is not the time, look at all the people, your relatives. If not for you, for you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility for your family, for Klal Yisrael. You have a responsibility. You should. What do you think this is? You know, you can argue this, debate this concept. People, Gedolim, have debated this forever and ever. What is the right thing to do in such a situation? Person.
When they didn't take the guns to shoot him, did they let the liberators shoot them?
No, they didn't. I don't know. Every situation, obviously, every situation is different. Every situation is different, and every person is different. And there's no question. There's many, many stories both ways. Both ways. People, mamish, they devour them, and there are people that no, we don't do this. Who's right? Who's wrong? You can't say who's right, who's wrong. There are different approaches, a different hashkafa, and Rahman al-Hassan. This one thing is for sure, they suffered a lot, these people. These people suffered, it's not to be believed, and it is what it is.
Most people consider Wiesenthal a hero.
What?
Most people consider Wiesenthal a hero.
Of course.
Right?
Of course. All right, let's
going through the justice
system. Can I say one thing?
Yes.
Just doing what you're saying. The Arabs in Israel, when they